Book of Acts, chapter 14. Verse 23. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. May the Lord bless the reading of these scriptural portions. I think we are coming back again to the study of the church and churches. We discussed in the previous class regarding the assembly leadership. I hope you may be remembering, some of you may be remembering that, what we considered. We were talking about the leadership of the universal church, or the Ephesians chapter 4 we were considering earlier. There we see in Ephesians, the law is speaking about the universal church. And Lord has raised leaders in the universal church, because we are taking the studies after a few weeks. I think we will briefly go into that passage before going to other studies, because this subject is a very elaborate subject, is a vast subject, and need to be studied very carefully, systematically, otherwise many confusion may come. So I think it is good to go into that passage once again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we are considering about that. There we read about the assembly leadership. There we see that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We saw the four category of gift that God has given to the universal church, because Ephesians is primarily speaking about the universal church, the body of Christ. And we consider about these are the gift that is given. The last one, the fourth one, we consider that it is a dual gift. That is pastors and teachers. Nobody can say that I am only a pastor, I am not a teacher. Nobody can say like that. If a person is a pastor, he has to be a teacher. If somebody says, I am a teacher, I am not a pastor, that cannot be possible. Because if you are a teacher, you need to be a pastor. But the percentage of that abilities may vary. For example, some may have the gift of pastoring more. Maybe 80% he is having the ability of a pastoral gift. But maybe 20% he has. He may not be a great preacher, teacher, but he can teach. He should be able to teach. Maybe 20%. Some will have more ability of teaching than pastoring. So he may be about 60 or 80% ability to teach. And the remaining, he may have the ability of pastoring. So pastor, teacher, this is a twin gift, a dual gift. And that is one thing we have to understand. Then we saw about the evangelist. This is a special gift God has given to some. And they are the one who speak about the faith. I think these are the three gifts we have at present. Apostles and prophets are not there. We have already considered that. And their ministry is available to the church. The ministry of apostles and prophets are available to the church today through the word of God. They have written down the word of God, so it is available for the edification. But visibly, at present, we have these three gifts: evangelist, pastors, and teachers. What the evangelist always speaks, He speaks about faith. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ. So he is always speaking about faith. That is the main function he has to perform. What is a pastor? Pastor always speaks about love. You love each other. So his main theme is loving. He himself loves the people. He himself loves the sheep. And he also speaks about the love. So the pastor is like that. Lastly, the teachers. They always speak about the hope, the deeper things of God, the great valuable things of God. They always share with the people. Sometimes very difficult to understand, but they have to do that. It's a very hard job. It's a very difficult job. We have a similarity in the Old Testament. The tent, when there was a dismantle the tent, and everyone has to carry the tent to another place. There are three groups of people there. There one is Merari, second is the family of Gershom, and the third one is the family of Kohathites. So these three families are represented here. And they are not carrying everything. They have different assignments are given for them. And different vehicles are given for them. But in Kohathites, we see that they were not given any vehicle to carry the material. And they have to carry the heavy material. The Ark of the Covenant and all they have to carry. Most precious things they have to carry. Yet God did not permit to give them any vehicle to carry. They have to carry everything upon their shoulder. The Kohathite speaks about the teachers. It's a heavy job. It's a very responsible job. So these are the things you have to compare and study from the book of Numbers. These three gifts. Of course, it's a very interesting study. If you can make an attempt to study that. Just I casually mentioned about it. So this is equivalent to the New Testament. These evangelists, pastors and teachers. So these three things are developing in the believers because of this ministry. Faith, love and hope. So God has given some evangelists to the universal church. As I told you, an example, the best example of the last century is we see the Billy Graham. Billy Graham, God has given to the church. He ministered to the whole body of Christ. And hundreds of people were saved because of him. Whenever he speaks gospel. Well, the same way God has raised many pastors and teachers. Those who teach deeper truths of God. For example, we know into the universal church God has given. MacArthur, we saw that. John MacArthur is one of that person. He himself writes pastor teacher. You might have noticed that his letters. So that means he is a teacher. He expounds the scriptures very well. Detailed truths of the scriptures he expounds. So likewise, just given an examples of that. Likewise, God has raised some evangelist and some pastor, a teacher. Their job is that to increase these three things, faith, love and hope. So this is what we see in the universal church. And we see that in the local church, God has given another group of leadership. They are known as elders and deacons. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1, we see about that. This leadership is meant for the local church. When we talk about the local church and the universal church, you have to understand one thing. You know, the local church is a miniature form of the universal church. Those who know about biology and the body and the structure and all, they can understand it very easily. I feel so. That is how the scripture compares body of Christ. The body we have, the body, and body is made of millions and millions of cells. You know that. It is microscopic. You have to see under the microscope cells, you can see that. And if you look into the function of a cell, all the function of a cell is equivalent to the function of the whole body. Whatever the body is functioning, same way a cell is functioning. Respiration is there in the cell. The reproduction is there in the cell. Everything is there in the cell. The digestion is there in the cell. So what the whole body is doing, a same way a single cell is doing. That is very interesting. So this is the way the Lord has explained about the church. The universal church is the body of Christ. And the local church is also a visible expression of the body of Christ. The function that is visible in the universal church is also visible in the local church. But in the local church, the titles are given for the leaders are elders and deacons. Now we have seen again that this word elder, first of all, we are going to take about the elders. In the course of time, we will study about the deacons later on. So there are two official leadership in the local assembly. They are elders and deacons. Now let us consider elders. As I told you, this is interchangeably used. Being it is a revision, I don't want to elaborate everything. I don't want to take the verses. So three titles are used about that. One is the overseer. Same word is used. Overseer, in some translation they say as a bishop. It is speaking about the same person. The another word is the elder. In the Greek language, presbyteros. That is the elder, Greek language. So overseer in the Greek language, it is called as episkopos. Episkopos means bishop. And elders means presbyter. And the third one is a pastor. Pastor means shepherd who feeds the sheep. And you understand in the scripture, in the New Testament, these three words are interchangeably used for one person. In one person is called sometimes bishop, and the same person is called as the elder, and the same person is called as the pastor. That means it is all referring to one person. Of course, sometimes I wonder about my name. I have got a lot of names. You know, people call me with the different names, you know. I wonder about it. Normally, you call Koshi Matthew, right? Good. But my home, when I reach home, they call me, my daddy and mom call Babu. That is another name for me. I'm the same person, Koshi Matthew and Babu is the same. When I go to my in-laws' house, they call Babu Kuti. That's another name. You know, what I mean is that, if I go to Santa Cruz Assembly, they call me by another name, Matthew Koshi. They are not Koshi Matthew. They don't call me Koshi Matthew. No, what I mean is that I am the same person, but the different names are used. Same way here, we see that the same person, but different titles are used. Overseer, elders, and pastors is the same. And why these are different titles? Because it refers about the different functions they are doing. Overseer, bishop. So it shows about the maturity of the person. See, overseer, bishops. That is the, office of the person. That is, he speaks about the office, chairman. In some vernacular languages, it is translated as chairman, adhyakshan. Malayalam, in adhyakshan it is called, not bishop. Adhyakshan means what? Who is the chairman? Who looks over? Overseer. He see everything is all right, okay. Everything is functioning properly. He is oversee the local assembly. So he is an overseer or bishop. It's the office of the person. Then why call elder, presbyter? The elder speaks about his maturity. Spiritual maturity. Doesn't mean that he should be old person. He should be old enough to handle the situation. He should be mature enough to handle the situation. So the elder is a reference to the maturity of the person. Very interesting, this Holy Spirit calls elders. I always appreciate that. The reason, it is a comparative, relative term. Relative term, out of 50, who is the most mature one? He is the elder. In some other places, there are so many others, they will be mature than him. So out of the congregation, who is the most mature one, he is the elder. Mature spiritually, he is the elder. So the elders is speaking about the maturity of the person. The third title which we have seen is the pastor or the shepherd. Speaks about his work, duty. What he is doing? He is feeding the sheep. He is taking care of the sheep. So he is expressing his love for the sheep. So that is why all these three names are interchangeably used in all these verses. You can study these verses. It is very easy to understand. So the question arising, whether the brethren people have bishops? Now there's a doubt about it. That question is little doubtful, isn't it? We have bishops? Yes, we have bishops. The question arising again, whether the Borivali assembly have pastors? We have pastors. You understand that? So don't say that if anybody, I want to see your pastor, don't say, no, we don't have any pastor. Don't say like that. We have pastors. We have pastors, we have bishops, and we have elders. They are interchangeably used. It's the same person. Normally we don't use the title like pastor and or bishops and all. There are some reasons that in the course of time we will consider that. Why we are not using that. Now, the question now, the next one is, who appoints the elder? Who makes them? How the appointment of the elders takes place? Now, read holy in the Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we are very clear that it is very clearly mentioned that the Holy Spirit appoints the elders or the bishops. It is the Holy Spirit is empowering them with the gift. What is the gift they have? You tell me, what should be the gift they have? Because they are the pastors. That means they should have a pastoral and a teaching gift. If he is a pastor, elder is a pastor, so naturally he should have the gift of pastoring. So he should be a pastor teacher gift he should have. He should have the ability to teach the people. So who gives this gift? We know that Holy Spirit is giving that gift to the person. So God, the Holy Spirit gives a person the gift of pastoring and teaching. And such a person is in the course of time is appointed as the elders or recognized by the elders. In the course of time, local assembly recognize them from their work. They are doing the work. Why they are doing the work? The reason, because Holy Spirit gave them the gift. So when the Holy Spirit gave them the gift, they take care of the people. They are teaching the people. So the assembly recognizes that boy or that person, that young man, he is very much interested about the things of the assembly. He is taking care of the people. He is concerned about the people. He is praying for them. And he is visiting them at the time of need. He expounds the scripture to them and encourages them. He is telling them to love each other. So then everybody understands that that brother, he is having the gift given by the Holy Spirit. What type of gift? Pastoral and teaching gift he is having. So once he has these two dual gifts of a pastor and teacher, the local assembly finds that, recognizes them, and will be accepted as the elders. Now, appointed in the Greek language, we come to the passage which we are Acts chapter 14, verse 23. That is one of the most important passages in the matters of appointment of the elders. Shall we turn to that? Acts chapter 14, verse 23. There we see that the missionary journey, the first missionary journey is over, and Paul returned to Antioch, and again we see that they are traveling and appointing the elders in the assemblies from where and the assemblies are formed, where the assemblies are formed. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we are in. This is after the return journey of the first missionary journey. That is actually not the second missionary journey. It is at the return of the first missionary journey while traveling back. They visited to the assemblies where they already formed. And then when they visited, they understood some people have the ability to take care of the sheep. Some people have the ability of pastoring. Then they found that some youngsters, some believers, they are getting up and teaching others. They observed them. When they observed these people, what they decided? They are really qualified to be the elders. So up to that, what is that? The assembly is going on. They were happy. They were directed by the Holy Spirit. And God raised someone there to lead them. But they never officially accepted them as elders. So you understand that there is a time gap always from the planting of the church and the appointment of the elders. There's a time gap. Why this time gap is given? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal whom the Holy Spirit has appointed. So once that is clearly visible after a few months of the formation of the assembly, the person who is involved in the formation of the assembly, who is taken initiative in the formation of the assembly, who took the initiative? Paul and Barnabas. They came back and saw that, oh right, he's good. This brother, Mr. So-and-so, he is capable of taking care of the assembly. And they appointed them as elders. How they appointed? The word appointed here is used, you look there. Greek word is used, the meaning is that point out by raising the hands or pointing out the finger. That's the meaning. Ah, that brother. See, that brother, Mr. X, that's good. He has the ability to take care of this local assembly. Oh, that brother, he has the ability to take care of this assembly. So they called the meeting. They said that these two brothers, you know, all you are enjoying the ministry of these two brothers. The assembly, what will say? Yes, yes, we are enjoying. We were all, these brothers were taking care of us. So then the publicly they will pray and say that these brothers are the elders of this assembly. So this is how the elders were appointed in the early church. There are difficulties are there. People are interpreting in various ways. It is really confusing. One word here, use this word, when they had ordained elders in every church, the word is used, ordained. What do you mean by ordination? You know that? As of course, we brethren people, they don't know what is ordination. Ordination means a person should go to a theological college and he should get a BD or MTH or whatever degrees he should have. And afterwards, he will come to a church and the church will say that you are going to be the pastor of this church and there will be a big function. That is ordination. I have seen in the denominational churches how they ordain the priests. Actually, the word translation is nothing to do with ordination. Because KJV, when translated, they were having the ordination in the denominational churches at that time, Anglican churches. So the instead of word appointed, they translated is the word as ordained. Such type of confusion is there in the translation. You know, very interesting translation. You know, baptism. You know that baptism. Why they did it, you know? Purposely that the translators did it. If it literally translate, to be immersed in water, that is a real translation. If that translation is there, many of the confusion would have been gone. But they purposely did it. A transliteral translation of Hebrew, the Greek language itself is translated, taken as such. The reason, because at that time sprinkling was going on. If they translate to be immersed in water, they have to change the practice. Understood? So because of that, they sought not to touch anything with that. It is better to use the word baptism. Actually word to be immersed in water. Same way, this is also done by the translators. Ordained. Actually, that's not the meaning at all. The word English, right word of English is appointed. So we should understand when they had appointed elders. If you read carefully, is there any role for the church to do that? Well, there was an election. We don't read that there was an election. Some people think that we need an election of elders, you know. Voting, democracy, isn't it? Nothing is there in that. So we don't read about any of the election and nothing is there in that. So there is no election. It is recognizing already who is exercising the gift. A person exercising the gift, the assembly recognizes it. So there is no election, no ordination. Some people think that when you appoint an elder, someone should come and lay the hands and all this, whatever maybe they have to do. Is there anything done here? We don't read they have done that. There's no laying of hands. See, the word, Greek word for laying of hand is epitetheme. That is the word which is used. But here, the ordination, appointment is another word is used. So this is not the same. Is it different? So we should understand one thing. Appointment is not an ordination, number one. The appointment of elders is not an election. It is not elected by majority of the elder congregation. Thirdly, the appointment of elders is not laying of hands. It can be or it cannot be, not necessary. Laying of hands is not necessary, is not compelling. So we should understand this is how the appointment of the elders takes place. There was a time period between the formation of the church and the appointment. That is very important. Here we see the congregation is not at all involved in this passage. So there is no election, no ordination, and no laying of hands. So this is how the early church recognized. Now, how they recognize the person? Now look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12-13. We read this very interesting passage. Paul ministered in Thessalonica and 3 months he remained there and he went back to place. And after some time he understood that God has raised some godly men in that church. And he is writing to them before appointing them as the official elders. He is writing to the Thessalonian believers. After 3 months, about duration of 3 months, he is writing to them. And look at that, what he is writing. Chapter 5, verse 12. He is saying, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you." They are not elders. It is not addressed to the elders. At this particular point of time, there was no elder in Thessalonican assembly. But the assembly was very active in evangelism. Everything was going on. But no elders were there. But Paul is telling, you know them who labor among you. So, know them who labor. That means flock can recognize them. It is easy for anyone in the assembly to recognize who is the elder. You need not write on a very badge and all, you need not write. That whether in the managing offices and all, sometimes they have to write manager or whatever may be staff designations. Here you need not to write any designation. Why? Because your work will recognize you. From the work will understand who is the elder. So they know them. The flock can recognize them. Secondly, who is the elder? Whether he should be from outside? From among you. Notice that. From among you. And no outsider is permitted to be the elder. He should be an insider. Some people think that we don't have a good elder, so we will hire a elder from another assembly. People are doing that. There is no hiring business in the eldership. Because he should be from within the assembly. From among you. Sometimes some people come from some other assembly for 1 month. Immediately he wants to be the elder. Otherwise he will create problem. The reason, because he was an elder, there's the problem. That doesn't mean, he may be an elder there, but that doesn't mean that he should be an elder in the assembly where he is visiting, where he is now newly joined. He should be visible to the whole congregation, not only he can be. So it is not easy or immediately it cannot be recognized. An outsider should not be an elder. What he is doing? Sitting at the back and watching everything. Is like that? No. He is laboring. Nobody recognized, nobody appreciated him as an elder, but he is doing some work. He is concerned about the flock. He is concerned about the sheep. His work will make known to everyone and will understand as an elder. So he is laboring among you. He works. Then Paul says, such type of people, if you notice that, he is from you, he is laboring, and he is doing a lot of work for the Lord, then if you see such a person, what you should do? You should esteem them. Respect them. At least you say, some wishes, isn't it? Some people, they turn their face and go. It's like that. Paul is not saying like that. You should recognize them, esteem them. Because of their work, you should esteem them. Esteem them for their work's sake. Now again, he's explaining their character. They are over you in the Lord. Over you means they are standing before you as a model. As an example. You can say, oh, that brother, very nice brother, really good. He is a model to be followed. He is a role model over you. He stands before you so that you can imitate him. Such a character he should have. Such a person should be, they lead the flock. Finally, Paul says in this passage, admonishes you. He is not firing you. Some elders are firing nature, isn't it? Fiery elders. But what he is doing? He is admonishes you. He speaks to you in love. His unique character is admonition. Lovingly he is correcting you. They guide in love. They lead you in love. Such a person, if he is there, who is he? He is eligible candidate for eldership. He may not be an elder, recognized elder, but this such a character, if anybody is having, we can really understand that is a person whom the Holy Spirit has appointed as the elder of the local assembly. In the beginning of the assembly, sometimes such character will not be visible. It takes some time. Once that characters are visible, and the congregation should accept, recognize them as elders. Probably the brother who was initiated the formation of the assembly, he can publicly say, see, we have seen this brother having all these characters, all these abilities, so we would like to recognize that brother as the elder. Unfortunately, we have teaching all these things, we have learning. But many a times we fail to understand who is the elders. If you ask majority of the brethren assemblies, who is the elder, how you recognize? One answer you will get it. What is the answer? He breaks the bread and gives the wine. Many of the people think that those who give the bread and the wine, he is the elder. Of course, they should do that. I am not saying that they should not do that. But that is not the criteria to be an elder. Any godly brother who has a good testimony can do that. That will not make him an elder. So we should understand these are some of the characteristic features for a person to be appointed as elders. I know that many of think that these subjects are why we need to study, isn't it? I think all should study this one. Even to small, to the young, everybody should know that. Recently I met a brother who is 70 year old man. He couldn't understand this. He was in the brethren for a long year, for the last 50 years. He felt that last week only I talked to him. He told me that those who break the bread and give the wine is the elder. And he said he should be rotated, appointed annually, we should rotate it. What type of ideas do people have? I was really grieved in my heart when he explained all that. I think it is a high time our every member of the local assembly should know who is an elder, who is a deacon, who is a pastor. So this is how the elders are recognized. Now, appointments whom the congregation recognizes by their work. As I told you in the beginning, it is the congregation recognizes. Initial appointments by apostles or the delegates. Because apostles were responsible for the formation of the church. So they appointed the elders. Or their delegates, like Titus. He sent to Titus. Titus, you go to Crete. Why? The Crete, in the church at Crete, there was a lot of disorder is there. Why there was disorder? The simple reason for the disorder, there was no elders, not recognized elders. So, Paul sending Titus. Titus, you go there and appoint elders. We'll read the first Titus chapter 1 verse 5, you read. There we see that. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Paul says that I left you in Crete for this cause, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain or appoint elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Why? Because here it is mentioned that you have to set the things in order. That means in the church at Crete, the things were in disorder. How to make an order? He says in the next passage. Appoint elders. So the appointment of elders are a way to make the things in orderly manner in the assembly. If the elders are not appointed, there is a chance that disorder may creep in. In Crete, the disorder came in the local assembly. Reason, some of them failed to recognize the elders. There was not publicly recognized elders. So Paul says to Timothy, Titus, you go to Crete, you remain there and find out who has the gift of the pastor and teacher, appoint them as the elders. Oh, Crete, it is a very funny city, you know that. Very difficult, it's not an easy task, very difficult task. If you want to understand the Cretans, you can verse 12, you can read what type of people they were. The poet, one of their poet, their prophet, very scholarly man, spoke themselves. He spoke about the Cretans. You know what? Who are the Cretans? Cretans are always liars. Evil beasts. I don't know what language he's using. Lazy, gluttonous. Of course, Paul is borrowed these words from their prophet. See, their own people are saying that what type of Cretans are? Very rude people. They are not actually spiritually matured people. Immaturities are there. If an assembly having a lot of immature people, there will be a chaos and disorder. So to regularize that, what you should do? You should have elders. If elders are not there, if such type of people are there, what will happen, you can understand. It will be a mess. So Paul says that you should appoint elders. So initially the apostles and their delegates appointed. It is essential for the maintenance of the order of the local assembly. Now the question arising. Now, okay, well, elders are appointed. The next thing, what happens? Suppose the next stage, it will remain for so many years. Afterwards also elders are needed. Who will appoint the next elders? That's the question. First elders, the person who started the assembly appointed or recognized it. But who will appoint the remaining things? Who should do? There's no reference in the scripture that others are elders, appointed elders. We don't have reading anywhere. Then how it is possible? Same principle is the same again. Recognize in the course of time who is having the gift of pastor, teacher. A person who is having the gift of pastoral teacher, that person should be taken up in the oversight in the course of time. I will explain it again. The simple process is this one. Suppose there are 5 elders in a local assembly. After some time, the assembly grew. Imagine the assembly grew. Maybe 10, 20 years after that. When the assembly grew, they understood the 5 elders, they became old also and they cannot look after everything. So they need someone, younger ones. What they will do? They will pray. And in the congregation, they can see some youngsters, they have the gift of pastor, teacher gift. They are not elders, they are the pastor, teacher gift is there. Once they have this gift, they are exercising that gift. And such type of people should be inducted into the local eldership. Of course, they can ask to the whole congregation, we found that so and so brother is capable and he is involved in the various ministries. So we desiring that he should be inducted in the council of elders. That's a good way of doing it. Even the elders themselves can decide prayerfully, they can take it such a brother. So this is how it is perpetuated. I always say about an incident, I don't know, it can vary from one church to the other, but I understood, I was sharing this so many years before, one brother came here, maybe 10, 15 years before, I don't know how many of you are remembering that brother, he was a foreigner, he was a Belgaum, he was ministering in Maharashtra for a long time, he is an Australian missionary, his name is Bill Forward, I hope you remember him. Some of you may, he came here and ministered many times. I just spent some time with that Bill Forward there. He is still alive. He is in Australia. He speaks very pure Marathi, very clearly, nicely speaks Marathi. He was a missionary here for a long time. I asked him, brother, how you appoint elders in your assembly in Australia? He shared his experience. He said, this is what we do. We about 4 or 5 elders will be there for a long time. Then we feel that there is a need of one more brother to be included into the eldership. Then they will look at the their congregation. They will find some youngsters having the gift of pastor, teacher gift. Such a brother they will call privately, they will call him and said that, brother, we found that there's a need of an eldership in the assembly. So we found that you have the gift of pastor, teacher gift. So we would like to induct you in the one of the elders. Of course, before that, the brothers should spend time in prayer. Without that, they should not tell. After spending time in prayer, they are communicating this matter to this brother. Probably that brother will say, okay, brothers, I will pray for that. If Lord leads me to that, I will let you know. He will be allowed to spend some time in prayer. So that brother is also maybe 1 or 2 weeks he will spend in time in prayer. After prayer, if he feels yes, he will say, yes, brothers, what you suggested is correct. I don't mind to bear the responsibility along with you. And if he said, no, I don't want to do that, he can reluctant from that. He can keep away from himself. Suppose he says, I want to be an elder. He informed to the elders. Now he said, then what we the elders will do like this? Then he say that our elders or existing elders will publicly make known that this brother, we felt that he is a good brother who is having a gift and taking care of the matters of the assembly. We deserve that he should be appointed as the elder of this assembly. But we want to know if anybody has any personally anything against this brother, that he cannot be appointed as an elder should be intimated to the assembly within 1 month or some specific time they will give. You know, you may look, when you look at the person, he may be all fine, but in his personal life some other problem will be there. Who knows about it? The congregation may know that. So we give an option for the congregation to raise any objection for not to appoint him as an elder. See, some people are there, they look very fine, but he might have borrowed money and he's not given back the money. Such people are there. So how to appoint him? The person, he knows that he has taken so much of money from me and he has not returned me. I know such type of cases are there. So such type of person cannot be appointed as elders. The whole congregation may not know that. So to verify his credentials, it is better they used to announce and time bar will be given. And they say that that matter should be personally communicated to the elders. If elders get no complaint from any of the congregation about his moral, family, characters, everything, then they will publicly declare that he is one of the elders of the local assembly. This is what the brother told me. I found that there is nothing wrong scripturally in this matter, this procedure. Of course, procedure can vary from one place to another. But one thing we have to understand, recognizing a suitable person is more important, how it is proceedings are there. Whatever may be the procedure, if we recognize the rightful person is more important than any other procedure. So this is how it has to be. There is any public ceremony, there is no need of any public ceremony as such. But in the early church, they laid the hand and they prayed and fasted and prayed. Some incidences are there. There is no harm in doing that. It should be simple. No big ceremony is not necessary. Only publicly we can say and pray for that brother. That is a simple thing to do. Then, one thing I want to tell you in this connection. Elders are not one elder. It should be plurality of eldership. Bible is not saying that one pastor, pastors or elders is plural. Plurality of eldership is very, very important. That we will consider later on. Everywhere we see that it is elders, not a singular. So the leadership in the local assembly is eldership. Now lastly, one question I will ask you. Here, suppose one elder is here and he is going to another place. Or from another place, one person who is an elder, Mr. X, is coming here. He is an elder in that place. Whether he can be elder here, that's the question. Answer? Yes or no? No. Answer is no. The reason is simple. He cannot be an elder. But one thing we have to understand. His gift as a pastor teacher will not cease. He is a pastor teacher. He will do like because he was taking care of the sheep there. Same way he can take care, but he need not to be an elder. He has the gift. Gift cannot be taken. He is the Holy Spirit has given him the gift. So he will exercise his gift as a pastor, teacher. But he need not to be elder. So I will make a statement. Look at this. Carefully look at that. The statement is that all the elders are pastors and teachers. Am I right? All the elder is a pastor and teacher. He should be a pastor and teacher. But all the pastor teacher need not to be an elder. I think the problem is very clearly solved. That means he is having the gift of pastor teacher. But that doesn't mean that he is the official elder of the local assembly. So this is some of the things related with the eldership. I think these are all basic things that all should know. Because I know that this subject is not taught in many assemblies. Nobody knows what it is. And a lot of confusion is there. So we should avoid such type of confusion and thoroughly study the scripture so that the matter should be very clear. The recognition of the elder. There are so many other things. If God willing, we will consider that also related with the affirmed. Three criteria are there that I think I will take it in the next class. How to appoint and recognize an elder. that we will consider, God willing, in the next class. May God help us to understand these truths. It's very difficult things, I know that, but yet all should know these truths. And may God help us to study personally and understand the principles given in the scripture.